This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about Brew Year's Eve, the Goose Island Clybourne closing, and the new Haymarket in Michigan. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And this is take two of our first 2017 episode.
Yeah, man. Scene one, take two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know we do the Periscope recording, so if you watch that, you got to see the episode
right, and hear
the episode. But
yeah.
Otherwise, the first podcast of 2016, here it is.
17. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not used to it yet. Not used to 2017. But yeah, if you're new to Chicago Beer Pass, what we do on here is we talk about our past week of drinking, let you know about some events that are coming up, dive into some news. I think our news may overlap with what we did this time.
Yeah, so, it's possible, yeah.
And we drink a beer, keeping it local, I think 99% of the time.
Yeah.
And this time, no exception, we have Big Hugs. I got a bottle.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I'm proud of you, man. You know, I mean, because you know, we went on like a 5-minute rant about, you know, how we didn't give Big Hugs, and that's our thing.
I didn't want to win the gold. my uncle came through. He's a fan of the show.
Right on.
So he knew my trouble of standing inside in the cold.
This one's for you, Unc. This is Big Hugs, and there's a Peel Me label, just like old times. And this is the one of the original coffee stouts in Chicago, right here. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, bottled ones anyway. Yeah. I'm sure they had them at FOBAB before.
Yeah, so he found this at, I think, Binney's or Woodman, so it made it to the stores.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that.
So this was like a one-day, it wasn't a one-day release. It went out, and they did the same thing with the little sticker, but let's open it up and pour some out, because we can talk about it forever. And then we got these sweet corridor glasses. If you're watching the video, you can kind of see that.
It's sexy time with these long-stemmed wide glasses here, man. This is
The only trouble is easy to knock over.
Like, yeah. Just,
whew, and then stouts all over the place. It's not good.
That looks great, man.
But yeah. Whew.
Well, cheers to you, man.
Yeah, cheers. It feels so sophisticated drinking out of these.
I'm a fancy bitch with this glass right now, but.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like a stout is a good beer to drink out of this because. You could get underneath it and still, like, warm it up a little bit. But if you're drinking, like, a Saison or something, I usually like to grab it from the stem.
Yeah, for sure. Like the tulip glass, the snifter glasses, I like those. Or even the stemless wine glass. But, yeah, they get all smudged, you know? But you got this extended fucking base here. You know, you get your twirl in. You get your analysis up in the air.
Hold it
up
to the light.
Night.
Yeah.
Whew. I love it, man.
But, man. It's kind of spicy, right?
Yeah, it is.
That coffee and chocolate coming through, big, big hugs. But I'm getting like a spicy, almost like a peppery taste.
Yeah, peppery. And then that, I don't know, man. For me, like some coffee beers kind of have that little hint of like pepper, like vegetal pepper. Is that what you're talking about? That's how it tastes.
I was just getting more of a spicy.
Like a spicy pepper?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just got a cool, fun...
Yeah, so what do we got under there? It's like MTV circa 1988.
Yeah.
up under that label. That's cool.
This is a fun thing. So this is a 10% coffee stout, and it is tasting good. I know I've had some of these where I end up storing them, aging them, which I guess I should have brought out maybe the other one, and we could have compared it. Maybe we'll see how long this episode goes, and maybe we'll continue that on stream or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I'm digging this, and I think drinking it fresh is the way to go with Big Hugs. Don't don't store this beer because you lose all that coffee, and that's kind of the point of it.
Yeah, I got the coffee. I get beans every week from Dark Matter. Mm-hmm. Got the Big Hugs coffee this week, and I was reminiscing on man, that one episode we didn't have it, but now everything's back in order, man. I feel good, man.
Cool.
Yeah. Same label on that.
Yeah, so we'll keep sipping on this and probably get a little boozed up at 10%. But we have a lot to cover because of our lost episode. We have 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah, so files got lost last week. And so we did a full episode, but we didn't post it.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Someone could just listen to your audio, like your side.
And it'd have been weird because it'd have been like me just talking to my imaginary friend, right?
Yeah.
Just like, wait, no questions.
That's an interesting show. Just like one side of it. Like, no, nope, that person's out. So I think we got to talk about Brewer's Eve, right? We had Josh on.
Yeah, we should. Josh Segoe, two-time guest on the show. Yeah, and this is his big New Year's Eve event. Now, this was Brad's first time there.
Yeah.
Not his first time at Salvage One.
No, definitely not.
Because he jumped the broom at Salvage One. Mm-hmm. But first time at Brewer's Eve. Yeah.
And I was glad to be invited to go to this event this time and had this event because I don't even know what I would have done. Like, and it's nice that I knew I was going there. It was a beer fest, so it felt like welcoming.
Yeah, it takes all the guesswork out of New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, man, I'm going to probably go to my favorite restaurant, and then I'm going to go to Brewer's Eve. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So I got there like on time when it opened. Yeah. I guess there's no time, right? There's not time. When doors opened, I was there. There was a line to get in.
Yeah.
And then it spanned three floors of drinking, dancing, eating. And when you got in, you kind of got a glass, your Brewer's Eve glass, which I believe I left. I don't keep a lot of the glass where I have lots of glasses.
Yeah, I'm starting to run out of space for them. Theirs is particularly cool. It's almost like a, would you call it a beer flute? Because it's shaped like a champagne flute, but yeah. It's a lot sturdier, a lot, and a little thicker.
Right.
Like, and taller, yeah.
But you didn't even get to have a glass.
No, you know.
Or one of those glasses.
By the time we got there, you know, they... someone had knocked a tray of glasses over, you know? So, you know, we saw Josh and he slid us like a Naperville Ale Fest, a Naperville Winter Ale Fest pint glass. Yeah. So I was like, I was like, oh man. Yeah.
So when I got there, I went to the cocktails first, the craft cocktails.
Yeah. Cause that was a new addition this year. So cocktail bar and wine bar.
Yeah. So, it wasn't so much a cocktail bar, no. It was just like a pouring station for cocktails. Like all the cocktails were pre-made in giant, like igloo, like vats. You could just like spout them out kind of thing.
Okay.
Which I understand, you're at an event, you can't be making handmade cocktails for everyone for the next like 4 hours. It's going to take
a big event too. I wonder how many people, like I would guess like a few, more than a couple hundred, mm-hmm. right? I'm guessing somewhere like five. Maybe not five.
Yeah, I forget.
It's like 400 or 500 people there, right?
Yeah, I forget what he said the number was.
There's a lot of people there.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
So those were fine. It was, like, I think, a nice addition for people that maybe didn't want to drink beer all night.
Yeah.
But they were pretty sweet. I know Maeve tried them all and then at some point, like, blended them to make, like, an ecto-cooler-looking one.
Little cocktail suicide there.
Yeah. So basically, after midnight, you're like, I'll take all the drinks and pour them in this one glass. I'm out of time.
Yeah.
And then also downstairs on that first floor was Goose Island. And they had barley wine listed on their tap list.
Yeah.
But they also were pouring Regal Rye.
Yeah. So that was the... Because this tap list is usually like just like 12 or 14 breweries, if that, right? Like super small, nothing big and sprawling. Just really a really tight tap list. Goose was on there last year too, yeah. And Regal Rye, man, the one of the variants from last year. So what was it? Like Luxardo cherries. It was a rye whiskey barrel, mm-hmm. with fresh cherries, Luxardo cherries, and sea salt.
Yeah. And so I was able to get some of that. The downside of this beer being where it was, uh-huh. and the people just wanting to drink, mm-hmm. a lot of it went underappreciated as just like, oh, let me have the stout.
Okay, I see what you mean.
And then, or if you saw barley wine, people were like, oh, can I get the barley wine? And like, oh, we don't have that. We have Regal Rye. Like, okay.
Like, oh, like just, whatever. Just whatever, let me get
just
that.
Just let me get that one.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a bummer. I did get it, so I didn't. That's fine. I enjoyed it and shared it with a few people that were unable to get it.
Yeah. So. It's a weird dynamic when you get to these huge parties, right? Yeah. It's like you want a wider audience to enjoy it, but then you run into situations like that. It's like it's a double-edged sword, you know. So it was gone by the time I got there. But I ran into you, and I had the barley wine, which I was really appreciative of. The barley wine is pouring good this year.
I thought it was
the sleeper pick of the ones they came out with, the BCS 2016s. For some reason I didn't get to all the breweries that I wanted to.
Also downstairs was Virtue Cider was next to, which makes sense because they go hand in hand.
That's true.
Craft Cocktails was downstairs. Then on the other side of the room was Pipeworks, Pollyanna, and one other brewery.
Probably the new brewery this year, Sound.
Yeah.
I was going to say Soundgarden.
But
that's the band.
They played Black Hole Sun. No, that was over there.
Sound Growler.
Don't remember if Stanley I Park. Had one of their beers. I know I was drinking a bunch of Little Citra because I had something else from over there, and I was like, I didn't like it.
Yeah, Little Citra is a fantastic beer. Yeah, last year Miskatonic was there, which was a suburban brewery started by a couple guys from one of the guys was from Goose Island. And then this year they got swapped out for Sound Growler. I found myself at the Half Acre table a lot because it was the first table when you go upstairs. So Half Acre, they had Lead Feather, which is their winter black IPA. You're not a big fan of that.
No,
you just don't like the style. I think
I don't like the, I don't think I like the black IPA style. Like, it's, I think it messes with my mind a little bit. And like the malty hoppy kind of thing. I don't know,
because some of them, when they're done well, right, it's almost like this kind of chocolate covered like something piney and chocolatey, something like a chocolate covered grapefruit or something, right? Something like that. When it's good, but when it's not good,
when it's good, chocolate covered grapefruit. That sounds awesome.
Sometimes it just kind of tastes like, you know, like almost like too roasty, like almost like if you got a cigarette butts in your mouth or something. Yeah. Sometimes they taste like that, right?
Give me that chocolate covered grapefruit. So that was upstairs. Also next to them was I'm blanking on who it was.
Salamoth was up there.
Salamoth was up there. They were on the other side. They were pouring Punk Rock for the Rich Kids, right?
Yeah, they had something about Vikings. Like Ravaged by Vikings, which I think was their double IPA.
Okay.
Yeah. And Two Brothers was up there. They had the North Coast or the North Wind Imperial Stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were drinking a bunch of that, right?
Yeah. That was the last man standing, was the North Wind Imperial Stout. I really dug the double IPA from Half Acre. It was called Deep Space.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So that was nice.
There was a lot of big beers at this. Like, that's, I guess that's one of the things, like, you want a little bit for New Year's is you want to, like, party.
Yeah.
But also at the same idea, I go to Beer Fest and I'm like, how do I drink as many of these as possible for as long as possible? So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I just remember, like, well, I just found myself like bouncing from couch to couch because of the, you know, because the Salvage One is basically a furniture store, and the, everything you sit on is cool. Everything that they're selling is cool. Like all the, you know, like stuff in your bedroom and your toys and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't get to the cocktail bar at all, but yeah. So I just leaned heavy on Half Acre for me.
Okay.
That's what I did all night.
And then there was a wine bar up there. So, and each floor also had a different band, but they were like the same band. They were either one dude or a group of people playing folk/90s alt rock.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that about sums it up. Yeah, if you got multiple floors, you could just have one floor with a DJ, just mixing it up, getting you all kind of different stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because the band's not really gonna have a whole lot of range, right? Not when you're getting down to like Chumbawamba or, you know, I don't know, Jesus Jones or whatever.
Right.
Else, we're showing our age with this shit, right?
So
here.
This was my, I really enjoyed the event, except for the music. Like the food was, those past hors d'oeuvres were nice. The pizza, I didn't really get to.
Yeah.
That was like downstairs, but the bands. Oh, that was rough. The song that they played right before the countdown was Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. That's like the worst hyped up song.
Song. I only know Walk the Line from Johnny Cash.
Yeah. If you heard it, you'd be like, okay.
Be like, oh, that song?
Any Johnny Cash song as your last song before midnight is not good, no matter what it is.
Point taken. Yeah. No, I hear that. Yeah.
So that was just like, there was no, I guess, hype to the dancing.
So
like
Brad wanted to boogie. That's what he, it's the last day of the year. He wants to cut loose. He works hard. You know, he plays even harder.
Yeah.
He wanted to cut loose. He couldn't cut loose.
We tried to dance, but then I feel like boot scootin' boogie kind of song came on. It's like, all right,
I guess different kind of dance. You know, get your elbows out. You know, maybe pat that knee. You know,
flare out my jeans. And, so the band.
I hear you. Yeah, I think I still dig it as like, you know, okay, what are we doing on New Year's Eve? All right, can anyone top what happens at New Year's Eve? That's what goes on in my head on that night.
Okay.
So I like it from that standpoint. It's like, you know, I love the concept. I love the space. You know, and I like the tight beer list. You know, 12 brewers, not like all these options. Just give me a tight list. I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you could change something, I would have a little more variety in the music. Maybe a DJ set upstairs instead of two bands, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think a band downstairs and a one dude band up on the top floor was good. And I think the main floor should add a DJ.
And can someone please take their guitar and smash it and set it on fire? I'm just waiting on that.
Come on. We need more fires, and there was like no fireworks inside the building.
Tear your stage up. You know? We want a little bit of violence. a little bit of debauchery.
That was Brew Year's Eve.
Yeah.
A good time. I feel like we talked about it for like a half hour last time. So.
Yeah, right.
Oof, we're blazing through this.
I'm not going to drink this all.
Then a couple days later, I went over to the new Hop Cap.
Oh, right on. That's the bar in Lakeview.
Yeah.
But they're from Grand Rapids.
Yeah, so they ended up like franchising out the system or the style name of the place. And so,
yeah, because I think their goal was to put like 28 of them around the country, these craft-centric bars. The original one up in Grand Rapids is a brewery too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it has 138 beers on draft.
Ridiculous wall of taps. Yeah.
I do not remember what the place was beforehand.
No.
But it's a big space.
It's like cross street from Wiener Circle. It's kind of that strip where I just passed through. Yeah, I didn't really stop or anything.
Yeah. But I like the interior and the decoration and the look of the place. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
138 beers on. That's cool. It's a little overwhelming to some degree. But they have a huge local section, and I was there. There was a Victory at Sea, like Ballast Point kind of tap. No one could ever tap take over that place. It was just like a tap event.
The one time I went, they were like, Moody Tongue's coming. I'm like, oh, great. How many? They're doing a tap takeover. I'm like, oh, word. How many beers is that? Like, yeah, they're bringing five. I was like, oh, right on.
Like, way to take over your taps.
Yeah, 160 plus taps, man. We're seeing that a little bit around town, right? I know Poorhouse in Wicker Park is 80 plus taps. Housing Hood, where we shot live from Housing Hood, they've got a big wall of taps. And now this place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the decor in there, man. It's kind of like a kind of jazzy vibe from
70s.
Like, yeah, from like another era kind of. Yeah, it's a nice feel. Yeah. Oil paintings of like old rockers on the wall too, which I dig. Yeah. It's nice. I like the space.
This is pretty neat. I like that it's there. I would never go out of my way to go there.
Yeah, the one in
I have a lot of other places that I could go to. It wouldn't be a destination because the food is pretty bad.
Yeah, it's kind of a, it doesn't want to be a craft sports bar, but it kind of is. You know what I mean?
With no sports, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a craft sports bar that's dressed up like a jazz bar.
It's like, it's Saturday night. I'm out at the bar, but if you came Sunday afternoon, this would be the TVs would be blasted. It would be a sports bar, but we're just a Saturday night kind of place.
Yeah.
So that was that's Hop Cat. It's nice that's here. I don't mind. I feel like it's missing like something like craft beer is a more intimate kind of like a smaller bar kind of feel to some degree.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
And when you add in the like, we're 500 beers on tap. You can get your pizza poppers. You can get your slab of ribs. We can get it all here. It's like, what? Why am I here?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, because spaces are huge, you know, like look at Lagunitas. Like, Lagunitas is a big craft bar, but they're not really trying to be, like, sexy. Lagunitas is just like, hey, throw your penis on the floor. Here's the benches are made.
I thought you were going to say something. Throw your penis.
You know, throw your penis on the floor. Get your plastic cup. Go walk around on your own. You know, when you're that big a space, it's just hard to be sexy. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
So that was Hopcat. I don't know. What else? Then last week we talked about the news of Goose Island.
Yeah.
Closing again.
Again. So... So it's dizzying because Wrigleyville closed forever, okay? And then they're like, no, wait a minute. We worked out a deal. We're going to come back for one more season.
Yeah. And then they tore down the building.
And then they closed again for real and tore the building down.
Right, until the new building is built and they open up the pub.
They better not.
They will. I would put money on this right now. Somebody who's listening, take this bet on me. Goose Island Pub in the new... Whatever that opens, whatever they build there, there'll be a Goose Island Pub there.
We'll rise again, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Hot Dogs. Hot Dogs closes, and then before you know it, oh yeah, Hot Dogs is doing a block party. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Hot Dogs has a pizza at Peace. You know, it's like, are you closing or not, man? Like, what are you doing? You know. Yeah. So Goose Island Clybourne, the original pub, is closed for renovations.
For 5 months?
For 5 months, till like June or July, yeah. And renovations always run over, you know that.
But right? They just renovated.
They just renovated like a year ago, mm-hmm. maybe like 15 months ago. So, you know, the old grandpa bar, and then they have the new back bar, which is kind of like this.
Like the Carl Strauss?
The Carl Strauss room, and then like another one of the rooms named after one of the kids or something. Just like exposed brick and steel everywhere, yeah. Right? That was the update. Right?
Okay.
So you had these two vibes going. You know, so that just happened.
Yeah.
But
you'd walk into the place and you'd be greeted with, I don't know, it's a huge room of nothingness, of a merch table and a hostess that, I don't know what the hostess ever did. I've never talked to the hostess there. I've just either gone to the bar and sat down or like went to a table.
Yeah. That's an interesting point because like, you're right. Like when they redid the space, you had these distinct rooms, right? Like you had the Carl Strauss room, which was the party room where Belgians Fest and Stout Fest were. And then you had the new bar, which was the exposed, you know, steel center room. And then the main bar, right? Yeah. The loft. And the patio.
And the downstairs
thing. Oh, and the whatever you call it downstairs. Yeah. The cellar.
Mm-hmm. But that other, the Carl Strauss room, that was like never open.
No, because they did, because they would do private events there and they would do, so it was their events room, private events and then like Siebel.
But it looked like it should have been another bar in the summertime, like it was brighter and more open. Like, but you go in there and be like, oh, can I go to this bar? No.
It should have been more versatile than just private parties and classrooms, right? Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that entranceway, because that entranceway is really big for there to just really just be either have an explosive gift shop where it's like, you know, stuff everywhere to buy.
Yeah, I know that Goose Island logo is on everything.
Yeah, but this is just kind of like a really big room with like a little bitty receptionist in the corner, right? Yeah. That's basically what it is, and brick walls, yeah. So they're doing away with all this stuff.
But why?
Well, because it's not electric, man. It doesn't pop, man.
Okay.
You know, this is what they said, you know. So, this is a thing. So, like, we talked about this there. I can't believe it. All right, so, this is to say you're dating an older woman, right? But she's still hot.
Okay.
She's still hot. She just can't cook, right? But she's going through a midlife crisis.
I don't even know where he's going with this. All right.
This super hot older lady.
That can't cook.
She's not content with just learning how to cook and being super hot, right? Instead of addressing her issues of being old and not knowing how to cook,
okay,
she's just gonna go get like, you know, all this plastic surgery done, right? She's gonna get like,
but
you
she's
know,
already super hot.
Exactly. She's augmented face, and new boobs. Why is she doing all this, man? Why can't she just be content with being a hot old lady? Why?
Okay, so
I have no idea where I'm going with this.
I don't know, but I feel like I'm gonna figure this out. So, if Goose Island is this hot old lady that can't cook because their food is bad, right?
Yes.
The Goose Island food
it could be better.
At Clybourne was bad. It was good for a minute. I don't even. I feel like it was about 4 years ago. It was really good for a minute. They had a really good burger. They had a couple things, and before that, it was all like kind of pub food. yeah. burgers, chips. They need to stop pushing those pub chips everywhere because those are not good. No one likes those. And
like,
so yeah,
like barbecue seasoning on the pub chips, right?
Yeah. yeah. So no one likes those, and the food just wasn't good. Whenever someone would say I'm going to dinner there, I'd be like, I will eat and meet you for a drink.
Yeah, and then they brought up examples of brew pubs around town, like Rev's, Kedzie, or actually the brew pub.
Okay.
Not the tap room at Revolution. I mean, but you got, you know, Goose Island Clybourne kind of sits in a mall in Lincoln Park, though, you know?
Right.
It's next to, like, you know, a Gap for kids, you know, and, you know, Patagonia and Bath and Body Works. Like,
yeah.
It sits in a mall.
There's no reason for you to really be over there drinking or eating unless you're out shopping and you're like, yeah. I'm hungry, let's grab a bite.
Yeah, you kind of like, I don't know what you can do in that location. And actually, like, part of his charm was that it was it's an old man bar.
Yeah.
You know, it was the old man bar where, like, you know, like we talked about the Chicago Beer Society, you know, they decided that was their home. And then the Siebel classes were taught there. So it was a space where everybody learned how to brew. All these breweries that have opened since all learned how to brew at Clybourne. It was this unique thing. It was across the street from Flagship Benny's. And it seemed like that was cool, you know?
Yeah.
But apparently it's not cool enough, so.
So the closing for 5 months also entails laying off everyone except for the head brewer.
Yeah, so the brewers are getting a severance package, right? Well, they'll basically get paid until it opens again.
Because they'll probably just make them go brew at Fulton, right?
Yeah, and then they, you know, they're part of a huge network, a global network. Yeah, I'm sure they'll find something to do. Oh, but yeah, everyone who's not a brewer, it sounds like they can apply for their job in 6 months if they want, or 5 months or whatever.
See, I think this is super shady. And I think it's AB's way of firing some of these people because there's been a lot of bartenders who have worked there for years. Probably, yeah. I don't know. There's been a couple of the same bartenders I've seen forever there.
Yeah, for sure.
They are probably making very good money for a bartender.
This is a good way to, wipe the slate clean as far as, like, you know, I guess, I don't know, management and crew, right? Right.
So take it's over AB place. Cutting cost on staffing, I think.
Yeah, that could be part of it.
And so I feel like that is super shitty.
Yeah. I was at the going away party there.
Okay, yeah, cuz
on Sunday night.
That was after we had talked about this. So that was the news of it and
the news of it, right. And then we went to the party and I was talking to my buddy Manny who was at the bar and he went to the Hard Rock Hotel cuz Vegas cuz Goose has a Hard Rock they have a Goose in the Hard Rock in Vegas.
Okay.
And he's like, "Man, it's like walking into Fulton." You know, he's like, it's like almost the exact same layout. It looks and feels just like the production facility here.
Okay.
So, I mean, so hearing that, you know, no one really talked about the direction that it was going to go other than to say, hey, you know, we're getting brand new tanks and then the loft and the cellar are going to be gone and that'll be part of an expanded brew house. But how the rest of the place would look, nobody really, I don't think they, I'm not,
they know m- right
maybe,
now.
Maybe it's unclear right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, but that part of it was what we knew for sure. Like the other look, and like we talked about, you know, they've got bars all over the country now. Either have tap rooms, or just like bars all over the country.
Right, because they have the London one that's opening up, and it makes sense that they would want a Budweiser tastes like a Budweiser no matter where you drink it.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And so I would think AB wants you to go into a Goose Island pub, no matter where you are in the world, if it's London, China, New York. It feels like a Goose Island pub.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, when we talk about Hopcat, that's kind of what they're going for. I mean, other than, like, I went on the Bourbon Trails. There's a Hopcat in Louisville. So we stopped at that Hopcat.
Okay.
And, you know, and it doesn't really look or feel a whole lot different from Chicago or Grand Rapids. I mean, except for the beer. You know, like, there's always a focus on the whatever city or region you're in. You know?
Okay.
So other than that. You know, it's the same vibe, so kind of makes sense, right?
Guess so, yeah.
So this is the last night. So they basically had a buffet all night because, you know, they want to get rid of all the food. And then they're, like, having specials on all the beer because they want to, you know, just, they're closing for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, so they did that. So you would order, instead of ordering full pours, you would get, like, the little 6 ounce glasses of whatever they were pouring.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we just went into, like, you know, Prop 2015. It didn't hold up that great.
Oh, really? Okay.
What else? BCS 13, these kind of things. And then there was a raffle. And in the Carl Strauss room, there was a raffle.
For what?
All their old bombers, all the vintage bombers. Oh, so okay. we're talking cherry rye, bramble rye. You know, we're talking the original vanilla, original rare, this kind of thing. Yeah, a lot of one-off beers, and even a lot of the pub beers that were one-offs. They were raffling all that stuff off. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I remember we started the Hopcast based off of, or at the time when the 20th anniversary bottles came out.
Yeah,
and they were selling one every 2 weeks at Goose Island Clybourne. You would go there and you could buy them.
Yeah,
and that was probably the first 10 or 15 episodes of the Hopcast revolved around beers that you cannot get. Some of them ended up being other things later on, but yeah.
Yeah, kind of cool. I think like on a, you know, like on a personal note, like, you know, the very first story on our website, Chicago Beer Geeks, was a Goose Island story. But then also the very first party we threw within the City TV, we used to consider ourselves these beer crusaders. We'd go to a bar that didn't sell craft and bring our own beer, right? So we had a Goose IPA when it was made here,
okay,
and Sophie, right? And we'd, okay, we'd invade like Kincaid's or something, right?
What, you bring like a keg?
Yeah, we bring keggers, you know, and they would, and you know, we'd raffle off beers and just, okay, you know, we introduce people to beers, and Goose helped us do that. You know, actually Ken shot like a promo for us, 100 meters. So yeah, I mean, they've always been, it's not a far stretch to say that they kind of introduced Chicago to craft beer.
For sure, right? Yeah.
1988, they, no one else was really doing it. And I was actually watching the documentary that you guys did on like the 25th anniversary. The
25th, yeah.
And at the end, you know, Matt Brittleson, the brewmaster from Firestone Walker, he's naming all these people, you know, that all came through Goose Island,
uh-huh,
you know. So it's a special place, and that's a special brewery, so. You know, we give them a lot of shit, but I think they.
But it's opening back up. It's not going anywhere.
It's
right?
Not. It's not gonna be what it was.
Okay.
You know, it. I think it's gonna be like, I don't know. You don't want to say it's all Chili's look alike, right?
Right, but so. I would also put my money on that will close within the next 2 years. I don't think that location.
I think that's really what it is. I mean, no matter what you put
it
in,
it will that close look, again.
Yeah.
Here. The brewery that's closed the most times is Goose Island Clybourne.
Because they would always threaten. They'd always be like, hey, you know, well, we can't find a lease, so this is it. they would go through that every year, you know. This night was really cool because, like, you know, I think on my Instagram I called it like a winter love fest, right?
Okay.
Because it was Sunday night, and everyone's there. You know, everyone in this room. You know, and there's very few times where a lot of people will come out to do that. I saw, you know, Keith Gabbett, the head brewer over there. I saw his wife Renee, and she was crying. You know, she's like, I can't believe this is happening. You know, and then I'm like, oh shit, now I'm getting emotional, and I wasn't at first. You know. But yeah, this is the place where, like, you know, the concept for the brew bus started there. Adam Vavrick, who ran Benny's for a long time, and now he's running the public, and he said he proposed to his wife there.
Wow, okay.
You know, you'd look in the corner and you'd just see, you know, like Temperance, Spiteful, you know, the local option guys.
Maeve and I had our rehearsal dinner there.
See?
So.
Yeah. I got a lot of fond memories at that place. Michelle Foyk, who really low-key, Michelle Foyk's one of the most important female figures in Midwest crab. Okay, so she ran Goose Clybourne and Goose Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
Then she left to launch Revolution as a marketing manager. Then she left there to go launch Virtue Cider. Right? She was there, you know. All these guys, you know, Penrose, Off Color, Moody Tongue, Peace, Firestone Walker, all the head brewers there all came from Goose Island. So, and that's just a short list, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was a cool night. You know.
That's pretty awesome that everyone was there. A lot of people, most people were there for that. I didn't go to it. I don't know. I think I was spent maybe from my previous day of drinking. I went out to the New Haymarket.
Oh, up in
Bridgman,
Michigan, Southwest Michigan.
So I guess still Chicago related, right? Because their home base is here,
right downtown.
Yeah. So this was a preview of their new place. The kitchen is open. They are not brewing there as of, or maybe they had just started, or like, I'm not sure when the brewing actually happens, but they were previewing the food. They had some beers on tap that they had brewed. Maybe they, I don't know. I don't know all the rules on where it's brewed and what they had. So right. I don't know when the brewing started and when, yeah.
But they're up and running and they're open.
They're open now. I think today, maybe as we're recording this on Wednesday, was the first day they were open, or maybe it's the 12th. Yeah, is it the 12th today? Something like that. It's this week. It was opening. So they were. It was like a test of like the staff, the kitchen, everything. So it was cool to see that space finally going. I know I was up there maybe about a year ago to preview it, and it was just, you know, nothing. It was
just
half walls, and like over here is going to be the pizza ovens, and yeah, we're going to have like a, someone's going to stand here and greet you. It's like, all right, cool.
You're like, I don't see it, but all right.
Yeah, so it was neat. Pete said they have their canning line. They're going to do six packs.
Okay.
And that should be up and running very soon too.
Man, they make good beer. They're going to, they're going to sell a lot of beer. Mm-hmm. This market is just getting, man.
Yeah, so that was a fun night. Brian Shimkoe was there.
Oh, right on.
And so I chatted with him for a while about his brewery in Blue Island.
It's cool that you've seen Haymarket literally at every step of the way. I know you guys had it was a series on Haymarket from,
the original the Chicago Haymarket.
The Chicago Haymarket from when it was just just nothing in there until the day it opened.
Yeah.
And then you're like, now you're first on the scene up there with the new Haymarket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really dig that Angry Birds. You guys brewed a beer there. Didn't you guys brew like a couple's beer, like a wedding beer?
With Haymarket? We brewed a Two Hobby Hearts at Haymarket Chicago.
Yeah.
It's weird to say Haymarket Chicago now, where you had to say like Haymarket Bridge or Michigan.
You got
to
make the distinction. Yeah. I really dig that Angry Birds.
Yeah.
That's my jam. And Matthias. I think Matthias is one of the best double IPAs in town.
It sounded like Matthias was going to be in six pack cans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Matthias a lot.
Pete didn't want to do 12 or 16 ounce because he didn't want the price point of Matthias to be too expensive. Like,
yeah.
He wants to hit that $9.99 six pack range because their whole thing is like the working man's kind of beer and food, and they keep their prices down. They also, no tipping is allowed.
Really?
At Bridgman, if you do tip, they donate to a local charity.
Oh, that's cool.
So that kind of goes with the whole Haymarket vibe is like the worker. And so he's just paying his workers well that they don't need tips.
Yeah, it's not just in name or in concept. They're actually practicing it.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah, you know, when we take the brew bus there every week, and it's always the most economical stop. And sometimes it's always the best stop, you know, like as far as the beers and the food go. Yeah. So, yeah, we used to go, speaking of brew bus, we used to take Goose Island. Claiborne was our first stop. We used to go there all the time, man. Yeah.
Crazy.
Then we had to go to Lagunitas when they opened. That place is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'll probably make it up to Bridgman here again soon. I know I want to shoot another episode of the Hopcast and kind of just close out or like bookend the Haymarket story there. So should be good. So check that out opening soon and look for their beers. I'm sure we'll have them here on the show soon because even if it's brewed in Bridgman, they still have a home here. So I'm still going to say it's Chicago beer.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder if, so what are they doing? What was I going to ask? Oh yeah. I mean, I was like, are they still making beer downtown? But yeah, they're making beer downtown.
Yeah.
This is just for packaging then, that place up there. Like.
Yeah, and selling to other bars too.
Oh, yeah, and other bars. Like, yeah, so you'll all right. Yeah, kegs.
You'll be able to see Haymarket beer around town now, finally, where you would have had to gone to the Haymarket in the West Loop if you wanted a beer of theirs.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, that, I think, sums up our 2 weeks, right? As quickly as we could, man.
Yeah.
So, I think we're still light on events this coming week because New Year, everyone's kind of getting back in the groove. I know the Chicago Beer Classic is coming up. Tickets for that are on sale. There's some other events that are coming up that you need to buy tickets for, but I'd probably check out our Facebook page and follow us there if you want to.
Yeah, for sure. Day of the Living Ales, those tickets go on sale.
Yeah.
Those tickets are on sale now. That event's March 4th at Bottom Lounge, $50 ticket. Yeah, that's always a good one.
Daily sure, yeah.
No one can tell me what they're going to do with Stout Fest. You know, with
Belgian Fest.
And Belgian Fest, yeah. And Stout Fest is their St. Patty's Day party, which is right around the corner.
Okay.
You know, so what's going to happen? Behind the bar, I tried to get them to let me hold the bar, hold the Stout Fest trophy when I was at Claiborne, but they weren't having it.
Damn.
I'm like, just let me have it. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I won't break it.
They didn't trust you. Ouch, that hurts.
Yeah, but no one knew what was going to happen with Stoutfest, so.
Okay. We'll try to keep everyone informed that listens and watches on that. Then before we get out of here, do we have any new beer news? I forget what we even talked about last week in the beer news world.
Yeah, little bit of beer news. On Tour Brewing in Westtown opened this week.
Okay.
So this is a former...
Where in Westtown?
Yeah, right at Hubbard, like Wood and Hubbard. Like a block from Fulton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like right there. Apparently he's a guy who used to brew at Sun King.
Okay.
They have a 75-person tap room, and they got about 5,000 square feet over there in Westtown. So now if you're keeping score, that is slowly becoming a serious neighborhood.
So is this across the street from Lake Mines or like Kitty Corner?
It's like Kitty Corner, yeah. So there's there's Lake Mines. There's Clybourne. I'm sorry, Fulton.
Fulton.
Like Mines, Goose Island, On Tour.
Okay. And then Cobra Lounge.
And Cobra Lounge, All Rise. All within like 3 blocks.
Damn. Okay.
It's pretty good stuff, man.
So that opened. Man, I'm going to have to make it over there. I didn't even. I know I've run past. I run kind of that way all the time.
Yeah.
And so I've run by them building it, and like I knew. Ken Huntermeter mentioned that the brewery was opening there, and so I kind of knew where it was, but okay.
Yeah. So good for those guys. I'm curious about what they're doing. On Tour. I don't know anything about them. No. And Cigar City, their IPA, what is it? High Lie? Is that how you say that?
Yeah, High Lie?
Yeah, High Lie. High Lie, which is, I think, a game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're brewing that IPA up in Comstock, Michigan now with the boys at Perrin. Yeah, so it's a collaboration. So Perrin and Cigar City both were either they're partnering with Oscar Blues or they were flat out bought by Oscar Blues.
Okay.
But yeah, so this is the first collaboration. This is the first time they've made a beer outside of Florida.
So are we going to see High Lie here?
Yeah, we should be seeing High Lie in the area. It sounds like...
I've never heard of this Michigan brewery.
Yeah, Perrin is like a super small brewery up in Michigan, but they're like really highly regarded. People will talk about them. I haven't been to it, but then out of the blue, Oscar Blues picked them up. Yeah, Oscar Blues went ahead and bought them. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, first time Cigar City's brewing outside of their space. So, I mean, I think that's just the beginning. I think Cigar City is probably going to be the next big cult brewery from another region that you see in Chicago, probably.
Do you think they have, could they get a foothold here? I know High Lie is really good.
Yeah.
But that's really the only beer I've had a lot of beers from them, but I don't know, could they break in here?
Yeah, I think it's their one-off stuff, right? Like, their large format stuff, you know, their IPAs that sit on like cedar wood with peaches and, you know, they do a lot of stuff like that. A lot of wood-based stuff, a lot of stuff with fruit, a lot of, I think those beers would catch on, but their standard year-round six-pack stuff, it's congested up here, man.
Right, because we just had Wiseacre come in here around Thanksgiving time, and since picking up those initial six-packs, I haven't picked anything else up from them, even though it's great beer.
It's a difficult thing to do. I mean, when you think about regional breweries that made a big splash and the splash kind of stuck for longer than the initial weeks.
Yeah.
You think Stone, which was re-entering the market. This was their second time around. This was, you know, about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And you think Oscar Blues, you know.
Right.
But it's a really short list of breweries that are big in another region that come here and become mainstays. That's kind of hard to do, you know.
Maybe Cigar City comes here.
Yeah.
Finally.
You don't have to go down to Hunapu Day.
Yeah. I don't think they could keep... I think keeping up with the demand here would just... They do not have the volume.
Yeah, because this article says they're doing, 65,000 barrels a year projected?
Okay.
So, which is a solid amount.
Yeah, what does Rev do, you know? I forget what they...
I think Rev's, when they're at max capacity, is probably doing, like, close to like 150.
Yeah, see, and that beer is just sold here.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, you might get it in like in Wisconsin, right? It's primarily Midwest. Yeah. I know one of the guys from Boston, so they do it there, but mostly just for the Midwest.
Yeah, so I wonder what Wiseacre was at when they came here, like what their volume was at. So.
Yeah, you come into a town where everyone's already here, and then the guys who were like just Chicago players are slowly becoming regional players.
Yeah.
Like your Half Acres and your Revs, not to mention Goose and Lagunitas are both here.
And then Haymarket's about to drop here, so
yeah.
How are they going to play out?
Yeah. Curious to see how 2017 shakes out.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Whew. All right. I think we recapped both this week's episode and last week's episode pretty well here. Mm-hmm. So we should get out of here before this episode becomes multiple hours.
Right.
Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version. Facebook page /Chicago Beer Pass. I think that's probably the best place we're posting photos, either when we're at Goose Island, at Haymarket, sharing events there, like getting tickets for not Stout Fest, whatever, Chicago Beer Classic, all the events that are coming up. So check that out. And we share other events that we don't end up talking about. Like this week, we didn't even talk about the events this week. So,
yeah, right?
So check that out. And we'll be back with another episode next week with more Chicago beer.
Cheers.